Won't you grab a copy of God's Word and turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. And I'm reading from verse number 5 and following. Many a times we say, you're preaching to the choir. And a Sunday night group is like, you're preaching to the choir, Sean. You're preaching to the choir. And, you know, sometimes the choir needs to be readjusted and retuned. And the book of 1 John is like that. John is writing to Christians. John is writing to believers. And he's writing to them and reminding them of the gospel. And I was telling John Tyner, I'm preparing this sermon to preach on a Sunday morning, but it's a work in progress. And I pray as we look into this word today, I want you and I to know that John is writing like a father is writing to his children. And he writes, in some translations he says, dear children. John is writing. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 5, this is what the word of God reads. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Great words from the Apostle John, and he's writing like a father is writing to his children, and these are very humbling words. And John is writing a very stern truth to the church, to Christians. So you can say he's preaching to the choir. You can say he's preaching to people who get it. He's preaching to people who understand the gospel, but he's reminding them of the gospel. He's reminding them that when you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have a right standing before him. And when you continuously live your life, we call that sanctification. Yes, we falter and fail. We need to continually repent of our sins daily. And I'm afraid we have come to a place where if you know Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, and you know your eternity is secure, we cannot forget what Jesus did for us. We figure, dare we forget who Jesus is, what he has done for us, and that he's coming back for us. Pastor did a fantastic job in the book of Revelation showing us from God's word that Jesus is coming back for us. This scripture, when I was a teenager, just came to know the Lord, we were dealing with this scripture. One of the first verses I memorized in all of scripture was 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. I memorized the scripture and I'm thinking to myself, so I know I have a right standing before God. Now when I sin, when I trip up, what happens after that? Do I just keep on going because I initially asked Jesus in my life, or I need to daily confess my sins before him? This scripture opened my eyes because in verse number 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Do you know Jesus is more willing to meet you at the altar than you are willing to meet him at the altar? The best form of expression, of experiencing Jesus, is not the job he blessed you with. The best form and experience of Jesus is not the material blessings that he continuously blesses us with. The greatest joy that we experience from Jesus is open arms, full of love, grabbing you and I and telling us you are forgiven of your sins. So Jesus Christ came so that we can call his Father our Father. That is why in the book of Matthew, it teaches the disciples, this is how you should pray, our Father. Because you and I cannot call his Father our Father. He came so that we can call his Father our Father. And scripture is full of reminders that even if you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, do not live a life aimlessly knowing where you're going and live a life not following him daily. If you all you have in your Christian life is a decision that you made for Jesus and not a delight in Jesus, then you did not meet Jesus. Everyone in Scripture, when they came to know Jesus Christ, they had a concerted effort to delight themselves in him. The Ethiopian eunuch, after he was baptized, guess what happened? He went straight to his people. So do not live your life based on, well, on that day I accepted Jesus Christ. Live your life with that decision and a continual daily delight in him. So Jesus says he is daily bread, not cake for special occasions. And sometimes those of us who know Jesus, we forget to daily delight in him. We count on the fact that, yes, I know him, but let me ask you, when was the last time that you and I truly experienced Jesus on our knees, weeping before God for all that he is and means to us every day? So that is why he's writing all that we have seen, all that we have heard, all that we have witnessed. Reality, our gospel is historical facts. Yes, there is an empty tomb. There is no myth about it. It is an actual event. It took place. It took place. And now John is writing, and let me share with you from scripture about walking in the light. John chose a song about light and darkness today, and sometimes as a preacher, when you hear a song connects you to a sermon, like, well, yeah, God, you figure it out, right? He puts it together. About walking in the light, about walking in the light. I'm afraid that many of us who are in the light, we often trip into the darkness because we take it for granted. I know Jesus. You cannot live on your, you cannot be self-reliant and live for God. God requires righteousness, and that righteousness is found in Jesus. So you can live for God through Jesus. Not on your own strength. Do you know, and as we go into scripture, I'm just trying to set the tone for us a little bit. You and I, if you know Jesus for 20 years, 30 years, 5 years, you need as much of Jesus than those children came to know Jesus at VBS today. It doesn't mean that you are, well, I'm a Christian for all these years. No, you need as much of Jesus than a child who comes to know Jesus very now. And sadly, we bank on the fact that, well, I've been walking this walk for 20 years. How many of you, sometimes we know of friends, well, I've been sober for 20 years, and guess what? I tripped, right? Because you take your eyes away. I'm not saying you lose your salvation. Don't ever go there. You would not. And a lot of times people ask me, so Sean, can you lose your salvation? I said, let me rephrase the question for you. Will Jesus ever walk out on you? And that's your answer. So scripture is talking about walking in the light. The first thing it talks about here is that sin is a big deal. Sin is a big deal. Grace has brought us into a personal communion with a God who is holy in every way. Sin is a big deal. God delights and he dwells in eternal light. The darkness from our sin is what separates us from him. The darkness from our sin is what separates us. The whole movement throughout history, from the time man fell throughout the times, It's a pursuit of God pursuing us and bringing us from darkness into marvelous light. That's the story of the gospel. Sin is a big deal. You and I got to take sin seriously. That throughout Scripture, it's penned for us. It's woven through the fabric from the Garden of Eden throughout Scripture of what sin has done with people. That's what happened. And guess what? You and I need to be reminded daily that sin is a big deal before God. Jesus died. He died because of our sin. This morning we were talking about the VBS, game on. It's like you and I were on the basketball court, cannot shoot a hoop. Struggling, like the Cavaliers, struggling out there. You just cannot make it. And you know you cannot make it. And one day you finally realize, look at the sideline, and Jesus got his hand stretched out. Just tag me in. Then you came to a point where I guess he's the only hope I have. Tag Jesus in. Guess what? Today, you win the championship. You on the winning side. Sin is a big deal. You cannot be serious about your relationship with God and not take sin seriously. It's a big deal. It killed Jesus. So why did Jesus come? So that we can be moved from darkness to light, so we can have fellowship before God the Father, correct? So if you and I take sin lightly, we're taking our relationship with God lightly. And I'm afraid when we are serious about a relationship with God, we cannot take sin seriously. Paul says in Romans at the last head, what a wretched man am I. The things I want to do, I do not do. The things I do not want to do, I keep on doing. What a wretched man am I. Who can save me? Not what can save me. Who, a pronoun, who can save me? Jesus Christ. Sin is a big deal. And if you today know Jesus Christ, you are living for Jesus and battling with sin. It's still alive, it's still active. You choose to live for Jesus and sin is coming after you. Choose Jesus, choose Jesus, choose Jesus. This is how you know you are growing. You look at the face of sin and how enticing it is, and choose the glory of God. That's what sin is, a big deal. And this verse number 5 and to verse number 10, it shows us sin is a big deal. It killed Jesus. He came to die so that you and I can live. And sin is there, but it rendered it powerless. So those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, we need to know sin is a big deal. Don't entertain sin. Get out of the room. Get out of the conversation. Shut the phone. Sin is a big deal. Do not let it linger around in your conversations, in your relationships. It is a big deal before God. But not only sin is a big deal in this text, because sin is a big deal, the cleansing blood of Jesus is our only hope. The cleansing blood of Jesus is our only hope. Not a hope, the hope. Not hey hope, the hope. Jesus came, he lived, and he died because there was no other way. I promise you, if there was another way for God the Father, he would have taken it. It hurt God the Father. Why did he turn his face away when Jesus was on the cross? It hurt him. It hurt him. Sin hurts God. Scriptures tell us that he's so righteous, he cannot even look upon sin. And only the blood of Jesus, it is so powerful. The blood of Jesus that it comes and cleanses. So sin required the radical rescue of the blood shed grace of the Savior. There's no other way. You cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. Jesus. This message should not be an Easter message. It should be a daily message. A daily message and a daily reminder. How often you and I, those of us who know Jesus, Truly pray and say, Lord, today is not going to be about me, not going to be about my family, it's all going to be about you. I praise you. I give you glory. My mind cannot comprehend the love that you have for me. I worship you and honor you because by your blood you have purchased me. From death to life by your blood. And those of us who know Jesus, that's what you rejoice in. That's what our faith stands as a firm foundation, that I was a sinner and Jesus came to die in my place so that me believing in him, I will not perish, but I will have eternal life. Paul reminds us, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he became sin for us. He tagged himself into the game of sin, we call it, that you and I were struggling with, and he took the hit. He did. There's no other way. Sin required the radical rescue of the bloodshed grace of the Savior, our Savior. It's there in our heart. It's a stain. I shared with you, one of the leaders in our church, I shared salvation with him. He was cleaning the carpet and saw a stubborn stain on the carpet, and he's using chemicals to wash the carpet. And I told him, we also have a stain, you know. And no carpet cleaner can clean that stain. If you drink carpet cleaner, you will die. It's not a beverage. But the blood of Jesus can cleanse your heart from sin. He stopped his machine. He said, what are you talking about? He's like, you don't know me. Jesus knows you. Today he's a deacon of the church. Why? You ask yourself, why? Because the blood of Jesus is the only answer. The only answer. Because sin is a big deal, the cleansing blood of Jesus is our only hope. If it's your only hope, live in gratitude and in praise and in adoration to him who sits on the throne. We lose, my friends, we lose the greatest joy of being a Christ follower. The greatest joy of being a Christ follower is this. When you open the Bible, Jesus is seated right next to you in your living room. You know that? God is speaking to you. He's right there, the omnipresence of God. The greater joy, you can open your door and you can walk out and tell somebody what Jesus just taught you. The greatest joy of Jesus is communicating with his people and love them. Number three in this text, we'll come back and we'll read it, but denying remaining sin is a height of self-deception. Sadly, it comes to a point when we come to know him. Denying remaining sin is a height of self-deception. You know you and I are struggling the battle of sin. Our standing before God is forgiven if you come to know him, but your continual, everyday living brings you every temptation and sin that's coming every day. That is why Hebrews says, just get off everything that so easily entangles you. Why did he say easily? Because sin can easily wrap us up. Sin, denying remaining sin, is a height of self-deception. You and I daily have so much evidence that we struggle with sin. Don't be self-deceived. We work so hard to convince ourselves, hey, we're okay. Let me take a vacation and I'll be okay. Guess what? When you go on the vacation, guess who's going with you? You. Guess who's going to be there on the sunset? You. When you come back, 1 week it's okay. Second week, big problem. You go for another vacation? No. You finally realize that, hey, I have sin still remaining in my heart and is deceiving me that I can trust on myself now to live for Jesus. You and I cannot live on our own strength for Jesus. You can't. That's what the scripture is teaching us. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie. There's some good Christian liars in the room. We lie as if we got it all figured out. Seminary don't do that for you. 4 years degree, here comes a saint. No, oh, believe it, they're the worst. Daily we ask ourselves, and every time we excuse, we minimize, we rationalize, or point the finger of blame, we are participating on the denial of sin that we are struggling with. Well, the reason why I behave like this is because everyone, well, look at yourself. Look at yourself. Denying remaining sin is a height of self-deception. I wrote this line, and I'm very passionate about discipleship. Is it that you are not experiencing victory over sin because you are fighting alone? Is it you are not experiencing victory over your sin because you're fighting alone? You need another brother or sister just to come alongside you for you to share that burden. We call that discipleship. Right, Dylan? A disciple is someone who follows Christ. A discipleship is helping others follow Christ. Every Wednesday morning, yes, Barry Coker is here. Every Wednesday morning, I have a discipleship group. I love wearing my badge. I had my badge on today. It's a pride wearing that badge, you know, for some reason. But when I go and meet with these three laymen in our church, every Wednesday, 7:30, I leave my badge in the car. I sit there as a fellow guy struggling to live for Jesus. And we sit together and we talk about how we can help one another live for Jesus. And these men, I don't think they have theological education. One guy is a farmer, the other guy is a pharmacist, the other guy is in the military. So I got some educated people around me. And I asked him, how can I live a better life for Jesus? Can you pray for me? My family is in turmoil. Can you pray for me? I'm struggling with patience. Can you pray for me? I'm struggling with whatever the case may be. Can you do that? Guess what happens in my life? I have a shared, concerned brothers who are worried about my welfare and my living for Jesus. Do you have a group of people like that? If you don't have a group of people, let me tell you straight up, you are relying on yourself. Don't tell me when you're all alone, you're trusting King Jesus. You are trusting yourself. And the day comes when you are so self-reliant, will be the biggest downfall of your life. That Jesus will be looking at you with your arms, and you will say, well, I'm a Christian for 25 years. I mean, how bad can it get? I mean, I know these things. Christianity is not about listing all the doctrines we believe in. It's about experiencing Jesus. And I'm telling you, experiencing Jesus with a group of friends is far greater than you'll ever think. I want a group where I can double my joy and divide my grief. I want them when something good happens, hey, guess what, guys? Yeah, I did it. And sometimes, you know, you struggle. Yeah, please cry with me. Please, hold my hands up high. Scripture is teaching us there, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I'm afraid, verse number 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You're not okay. Even if you're a Christian, you're not okay. You need the continual help of the Holy Spirit to guide you in a growing relationship with Jesus. That's what we need. A continual growth with Jesus. You need as much with Jesus. The more, how you know that you're growing with Christ? How do you know that you are maturing? The more you run to Jesus shows how much you are maturing. The less you run to Jesus doesn't say that you're maturing. It says that you are relying on yourself. I mean, Jesus loves, he's a lover of his children. The more we come to Him, I mean, you have some grandparents here, you have some parents here. The more your kids run to you, the more you love them, right? The more you want to embrace them. That's what the Father does. He's continuously waiting for us. Continually waiting for us. Number four, in verse number 9 it says, God is always faithful to the promises of the cross of Jesus. God is always faithful to the promises of the cross of Jesus. Our Savior, listen to me, my friends. Our Savior loves to forgive. I mean, He's a specialist, master of disaster. You could be drowning in sin, and He will reach you and love you and care for you. He is a master. He is a lover of forgiveness. Jesus, let me remind you, it is true. It's really slow for Him to anger. He is patient that no one should perish. He has steadfast love. If you confess our sins, remember, He's not talking about a salvation confession. He's talking about a Christian's confession. You already know Jesus. You're already saved. But daily in our lives, if you confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So daily when we mess up, daily when we struggle, daily when we're falling into sin, daily if we confess, daily, He will forgive, and never be exhausted of His forgiveness. He is God. If I ask you, tell me three words, how do you describe God? Love will be your first one. You cannot outlove. He cannot outlove. He's love. Philip Yancey wrote in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace? This is what he said. You cannot do anything more to have God love you more. You cannot do anything less to have God love you less. He just loves you. I mean, come on. You don't have to earn any love. He loves you. And based on that love, Jesus is more ready and waiting for you at the altar than you are ready to meet Him. God is always faithful. So sometimes in our Christian homes, in our Christian marriage, there's a lot of unconfessed sin. It's lingering in there. It's there. You know it's there, but you just overlook it. Let me tell you, your overlooking of a tiny sin is robbing you of the joy of the Lord. That's what Scripture tells us in verse number 4. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. How would your joy may be complete? Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I need you, Savior. Yes, I need to be in your continual arms, loving me. Sometimes we know Jesus, but our joy is not complete because deep down in our hearts, we have something that's niggling us. We've been carrying it for years, and we know it's there. We don't want to deal with it. Today, deal with that tiny sin that's lingering in your heart. It's not okay to leave it there. It's robbing you of a joy of Jesus, and Jesus is waiting just to receive you. He's waiting to receive you. Verse number 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. You don't want to do that. We will lose that arm wrestle in a second, in a millimeter of a second. I mean, you just don't do that. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Number 5, denying sin makes a liar out of God and denies the message of God. I know that is hard, but that is true. Every time when you say, well, I'm okay, and you know that you're not okay, you are making God a liar. If we're carrying sin in our lives, it became a habitual sin, and you say, well, it's okay, it's not okay. It's not. It's sin. And sin separates you from the Father. It's not okay. I don't know whether you call it a white lie or a big lie, it's sin. And in denying that that sin exists, you're telling God is a lie, because God, through His Word, is truly shining a spotlight on that sin. And we say, well, not now, Jesus. You know, I'm not ready to deal with it right now. We have that tiny things in our heart, right? Am I the only one experienced that? It pops up now and again, like, oh, not today, not today, not today. It pops up sometimes. Jesus wants to deal with that. We are walking with Jesus for many years, carrying that same baggage. And then Jesus says, so you're really telling me it's not there? It's there. That hidden is there. And you leave it, is what you, when you leave it, you feed it. Whatever you feed grows. Whatever grows can bite you. Because whatever grows gets hungry. It needs more, and needs more. If you leave it, you will feed it. Whatever you feed grows. Whatever grows needs more. Don't say, Jesus, it's not there, not today. It is there. It's either God in His Word is true when He says that you have a problem and you can't solve, or you're right that you're so bad after all. It can't happen both ways. It's either you say, I bring it to you, or like, no, Jesus, I don't trust you. There's no other way. And notice, He's writing to Christians. And to Christians. It can't be both ways. Let me ask you this question. Aren't you just want to live in the joy like you first came to know Jesus? When you're innocent, lost, now you came to know Jesus, and you wake up in the morning, read your Bible, can't wait to tell somebody. When you see your school friend, guess what happened? I came to know. Aren't you so tired of carrying life's burdens? And John is saying, I'm writing these things. When you read this book, this is what must happen in verse number 4. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. You and I know that our joy is not complete when there's something in the corner of our heart and we leave it there, undealt with. And we become so comfortable with having it there, we are losing the greatest opportunity to live for Jesus, because sin has so deceived you. You'll still be okay. You don't have to give everything away. No. Jesus said, it is finished. Totality. Don't lie about sin. We sin every day. There's some things in our heart we got to come to Jesus and make right. Maybe you got to make a phone call today and end it. Maybe you got to sit on your bedside today with your wife and tell the truth. Maybe you got to go tomorrow morning and start how you first became a Christian. Start studying the Bible and reading the Bible and let the joy come back. Return to the joy of your salvation. I love this truth. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we just come to Him. Lord, I bring this dark corner before You. Man, it's so hard to talk about it, but I need to talk to someone about it. That's a message to the choir, right? Because every one of us here in the room, if you're talking to a Sunday night group, yeah, they're the Sunday night faithful. If we assume that we are faithful, it's a dangerous place to be. You and I need Jesus every day.